Good evening and welcome to Local Motion. I'm Allie Lightfoot.
The North Fork Valley is down to its last active mine. And today I'll be speaking with Pete Kolbenschlag of the Colorado Farm and Food Alliance and Marla Korpar from Solar Energy International about some opportunities that they see to move the local economy more into renewables and agriculture. They formed an alliance along with the Western Slope Conservation Center and recently went to Washington, D.C. to meet with state senators, the U.S. EPA, and the White House Council on Environmental Quality, and the BLM about some ideas that they're proposing. Welcome.
Thank you, Allie.
Thanks for having us.
So first of all, if you could just give me an overview of how this alliance formed and how you developed what you're calling an economic playbook for the North Fork Valley looking into the future.
So the idea of this trip was to bring folks from the North Fork Valley, which traditionally has been an energy and agricultural based economy for 120 years, to Washington, D.C. to talk with policymakers about how we could turn the tremendous challenges we're going through now in this valley into opportunities looking forward. And the premise is that we can still move forward as an energy and agricultural economy. We just have to be smart and adapt where we're going to the current situation into the 21st century. And so the idea was to kind of bring some folks back and have that discussion at that level.
And can you just give me a few specifics of what you were proposing or talking about when you were in D.C.?
Definitely. So from Solar Energy International, we were there primarily to talk about renewable energy and the opportunity we see to take advantage of our valley's vast resources. We have solar with over 300 days of sunshine. We have biomass. We have coal mine methane capture. We have hydro, and we wanted to take that and tell the agencies of how we're looking forward at how we can continue to be an energy-producing valley for really years to come.
What were some of your ideas on how to do that?
Definitely. So the Western Conservation Slope was there to talk mostly about coal mine methane capture. Currently, there's a project going on with Aspen. They're capturing methane and sending it to fuel their resorts, and the opportunity to expand that and create responsible policy around that. Solar Energy International was talking about working with Delta Montrose Electric Association to put on utility scale solar on the grid, and that was really fueled by a recent FERC ruling, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, that said that we're able to go outside of our wholesale power contract with Tri-State to produce local energy and really to create stimulate the local economy and create local jobs.
A major point of going back was to make the case that there's tremendous opportunity and challenge. And even when we look at issues like the Clean Power Plan or what might appear as mandates that are influencing economics at these kind of local levels, markets are changing around energy. It's changing in such a rapid way that it's only smart for communities, if we want to participate in that, to be looking forward and to be looking at these resources that we have here in the valley that are not fossil fuel dependent. And those would be hydro, like Marla mentioned, on our canals and irrigation ditches, which potentially is somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 megawatts. Similar 20 to 30 megawatts from coal mine methane capture, which is taking the methane that will continue to vent from these mines, whether they're operating or not, and turning that into power and putting it on the power grid, like a pilot project that's going on now at Oxbow. Solar potential is tremendous, both local, people putting it on the grid themselves or even using it off grid, as well as utility scale. Particularly around some of the public lands that are already impacted that could site some of these facilities like reclaimed mines. So there was a lot to talk about, and I think people back there are really, really interested in hearing from impacted communities directly.
Mm-hmm. And so you say you really want to sort of, not be looking in the rearview mirror and really start to look at what we've got and what we can develop a little bit more in our area. you know, we just lost all of our coal mines, and they were here for a very long time and a huge part of, you know, our community, our culture, our economy. Do you think it's important for these communities also to sort of grieve the loss of that industry and have some time to do that, since so many people lost their livelihoods and for, you know, generations in some cases, there were families here that have been in that, working in that industry?
You know, that's a really interesting question. And I mean, the simple answer is yes, we definitely need to grieve our history and, you know, acknowledge that we were historically a coal mining community. That's extremely important, and we don't want to forget that. But at the same time, we don't want to pause and be stagnant at the expense of our community in the future. So as they have left, so is the tax base. And now it's our responsibility as stakeholders of the community to ask, what resources are available and how can we move forward? And that's really where we came with this renewable energy discussion, because this valley is so rich. So working with agriculture and working with renewable energy, we see opportunities to diversify our economy and to create more opportunities, not necessarily replace those jobs, but create new solutions for our future generations.
Does any part of your plan include working with ex-coal miners to or that industry at all to include them?
When we went back to Washington, D.C., the idea was to talk about these the potential for continuing as kind of an energy-based economy, looking more towards the 21st century. The idea was to bring those discussions back in context of the need for economic development in this part of Colorado and really in rural communities around the country. And so how can this effort act as kind of a model for other communities? And also, what are the other assets here in Delta and Montrose area that we need to be putting time and resources into? And that would include our tremendous labor force that's here already, and people that are hardworking and that want to stay in this valley because, as you noted, coal mining families are often multi-generational. They've been here a long time. They are folks that are intrinsic and invaluable to our community. So helping people that want to stay here is super important. The way to do that in many cases is to figure out how to develop new opportunities and new economic paths to enterprise and for people to start developing what is here now and what our kinds of resources exist. There's been tremendous work done by the Delta County Economic Development folks with their Better Cities report that looked at kind of what are some of the intrinsic values of this place that are likely to continue to contribute to the economy over time. Food, obviously. How to add value to our tremendous product here before we ship it out of the valley. Those types of questions, I think, are all part of this overall discussion.
But are there people from that industry involved in the discussion? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, are they part of this alliance or in being consulted in any way?
So that's, I guess, a tricky question. We do have a partnership. We, the Western Slope Conservation Center, has a partnership with the mines and what the mines that are still opening. It's West Elk Mine, and they're working with them to do reclamation and just conservation while it's still open. But as far as creating opportunities for our coal miners in this area, we haven't really been working directly with them, but we are working, for example, with our children. So Solar Energy International actually has a solar in schools program. It's all levels, elementary, middle school, but specifically we have piloted last year a high school vocational training program. So far, 28 students have gone through the program, and what it is hands-on experience showing them how to do solar PV. They come out to our lab yard and they take a semester long course, and at the end they have a certificate that will get them an entry-level job for a solar installer. So that's one effort we're doing. And the idea with this utility scale solar is that while you will need solar installers to put in the actual panels, it has a lot of general construction work that is beyond, you know, a special expertise. So we'll need people to be doing excavation, grading, cementing, you name it. There's going to be a lot of general construction work that comes from these utility scale projects. So our idea is to, you know, create those jobs for local people who are already here with this expertise rather than bringing people in from other areas.
A number of the specific projects that we are back there talking about are being done in partnership with the local electric utility, Delta Montrose Electric Association, or with the DSED, the economic development folks. In the case of the Colorado Farm and Food Alliance, which is the organization I was representing, people on the board are local business folks, including people that are working to create a food hub here in town that would kind of be an incubator for food businesses. And so there's a lot of these discussions going on, and this is just part of it.
Mm-hmm. And if you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Pete Kolbenschlag and Marla Korpar, who were just in Washington, D.C., meeting with some senators, the EPA, the White House Council on Environmental Quality, and people from the BLM. So can you tell me more about who you met with and how they responded to your ideas?
Sure. So we met with staff from both Senator Bennett and Senator Gardner's office. They're very interested both in making sure that communities that are experiencing these kinds of economic transitions can kind of get some solid footing. Both the senators are aware that our communities here on the Western Slope are going through some difficult transitions and interested in figuring out how to kind of help us through that process. They're particularly interested in possibilities for coal mine methane capture. That's something that kind of exists as a win-win across, I think, partisan divides. The ability to create more local power and to kind of achieve more independence. Potentially, we talked about the ability to create half of our power here locally by 2025. So that's electric power on the grid. So there's a lot of interest in that, I think, again, from kind of a bipartisan perspective. So that went over very well. Then we talked with agencies like the US EPA, the Council for Environmental Quality, the BLM. And again, they're very interested in hearing people that are willing to talk about solutions. I think that often they get to hear people talk about problems. And you know, we all have a long list of grievances that we would love to talk to each and every one of our government officials about, probably. But being able to go and talk about solutions in particular, I think, was something that they were very receptive to.
Mm-hmm. These are solutions that you're proposing. What are some other solutions being proposed that you know about?
So I think that was one of the really interesting things we found in our trip to D.C., is that there's a large problem right now with, you know, coal mining is no longer economically as viable as it used to be, and we're not seeing immediate solutions. And that's the question everyone has. So when we went, what we heard from the agencies was, you know, this, you're one of the first people we heard from that have solutions. And while they're not directly related to the coal mining industry, the fact that they are related to economic diversification and rural town America vitality was very uplifting to them. And it was really a exciting and fun story to tell them because they're used to hearing not as, you know, positive stories in this really hard time right now.
Mm-hmm. Did you have something you wanted to add, Pete? To that?
In general, it's a great opportunity when folks from kind of rural areas can go back and get in front of people. In Washington, D.C., I think people back there were very receptive to the idea that there's folks ready to kind of put tangible solutions on the ground, and we just need some better policy and attention. For instance, the FERC decision, the decision is huge that allows local communities to put more power on the grid, and that is something that should be replicated across the country wherever we're able to do that. figuring out how to develop more solar in places on public lands that are already impacted, like when we're reclaiming coal mines, would be another just policy thing that could happen that would help local communities that are dealing with this type of issue. Transmission lines and facilities are already there. Let's make best advantage of those lands. So there's really simple things like that that are fairly simple that we brought back that, again, shouldn't be controversial. They shouldn't fall on one side or the other of a political divide.
And something that I read about this trip, talking about how the North Fork Valley is at the intersection of the old and new West. And I really liked that concept. Can you talk about that a bit?
That was a reporter's concept who was writing an article about it. And I would not exactly frame it that way. But the North Fork is at a very interesting time. And it's a time that a lot of rural communities in the West have faced successfully or unsuccessfully in the past. And that's a time when economics transition. And it happens with all sorts of different types of economies. It's not just mining or not just coal mining. It's not just fossil fuels. It's all sorts of economies that transition. And how communities address that and prepare for it and deal with it is fundamentally what determines if they're successful or unsuccessful. It's not outside forces so much as it's forces locally that come together and decide that they're going to move forward in a particular direction. So that's what I think is kind of the intersection we're at, is where we go from here. Do we decide to take kind of a conscious direction, say we are energy and agricultural based as we have been, and we can continue with that heritage, which is a heritage that many people are very proud of having participated in for the last century. We can move forward with that still and not see it as a break from the past, but we have to move forward because economies change and our economy has changed here, and we need to move forward now acknowledging that.
Mm-hmm. What are the challenges, and I'm sure there are many, in sort of proceeding with these ideas and proposals?
There are many challenges. I think a primary one is resources. So having the money and manpower and expertise to train our community and then create local economies. Also, it is policy. So some of these newer concepts don't have favorable policy around them. And really, that's why we were in DC to say, hey, this is what we can do. And this is how you, as policymakers, can help us.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's social and political challenges as well. And the social challenges is we need to find a place where we can have these conversations and discussions that are depolarized somehow, because it's so important for local communities that we have a vision, and rural communities that we have a vision about where we want to get to. So to me, there's like some social impediments that I hope we figure out quickly how to move past. And then there's political, political polarization that's happened around this issue that tends to put the issue, that puts every piece of this issue into one or the other category, left or right, red or blue, however you want to describe the divide. And whether that's renewable energy or climate change or coal mining, all of those issues come with this polarized baggage that has to do with kind of the political challenges I think we face more broadly in this nation. And that's how to get across that divide so we can solve problems.
Yeah, with all the work that you've done around energy issues in this valley, both of you at this point, and you're new to the valley, Marla, but you've been working in energy even before you came to SEI. What do you find that people have in common? Like when you're bringing people together in a way that that makes you feel hopeful?
I see a lot in common. When I look at energy broadly, I think it is a bipartisan issue because it really comes down to our security. And some things we can talk about when we're thinking about renewable energy is the fact that it's local distributed energy. So right now there is 7 cents of every 10 cents that we're paying for electricity is leaving our county in our tax base. So that ends up being $40 million a year that's leaving DMEA to provide our electricity. So think about if we created 50% of that energy locally, that would be $20 million that we would have here in Delta and Montrose counties. So with that, that creates predictable electricity rates, energy independence for us as counties, and ultimately local jobs.
I think that that's all very correct. The idea of local power and kind of energy independence is, I think, a value that is shared really broadly. The other thing I think that really connects us here in the North Fork and in Western Colorado is a love of place. We love it here. We love what it offers. We love the people in the community and the local food scene. I think all these are things that kind of stitch us together that we value. And so the question becomes, how do we keep people here that want to stay here in a way that is respectful of our past and acknowledges where the markets and other realities are moving?
So if people are interested in what you're proposing, where can they go to find out more and how can they be involved?
Well, so this trip basically involved three organizations in the North Fork Valley. You could contact any one of those, Solar Energy International, to learn more about their projects. The organization I was representing, Colorado Farm and Food Alliance, and the Western Slope Conservation Center. So you could reach out, folks could reach out to any one of those organizations.
And I've been speaking with Pete Kolbenschlag of the Colorado Farm and Food Alliance and Marla Korpar from Solar Energy International about a recent trip that they took to Washington, D.C. to meet with some senators, the EPA, White House Council on Environmental Quality, and the BLM. On how we can move our economy forward here in the North Fork Valley in terms of energy and agriculture. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks, Hallie.
Great. Thanks for having us.
You're tuned in to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Allie Lightfoot, and today we're talking about Delta County's economy. Next, we're going to hear from Trish Thibodeau of Delta County Economic Development. I'm speaking with Trish Thibodeau from Delta County Economic Development. Welcome to Local Motion.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I wanted to ask you a couple of questions about what DSET is doing currently in terms of helping to create and retain jobs in Delta County. First of all, I wanted to ask you about the Better Cities report. Can you tell me what that is and how you're using it in the county?
So for the past almost 2 years now, we've been working with a consulting firm in Region 10, Department of Local Affairs, on an economic diversification plan and looking at ways that we diversify our county's economy. This study was specifically looking outside of extraction industries based on the closure and shutdowns of the coal mines. And so out of that, we're really looking at ways that we leverage our agricultural community to diversify the economy. So there were 8 recommended projects, and we are right now pursuing 3 projects to do that. So we're looking at food manufacturing, value-added food manufacturing, and supporting ag businesses, and looking at a model that starts to look at an innovation center that really supports entrepreneurs, startup businesses, and established businesses, and growing their businesses, connecting to markets, and getting that business support, resources, and development. In addition to that, we're looking at some projects in Delta County that's more about building community assets. One of the things that we recognized from this study is that our population of young professionals between the ages of 24 and 44 is we really go into a dip. So how do we start to develop community assets and resources that will really attract young professionals back to our community, support them in opportunities for businesses, being location neutral and such. So we're looking at doing riverfront improvements as using the river as an asset, trail development, access to the water, and parks and such, developing a hotel and conference center also in Delta, and knowing that there is bringing in a higher-end hotel and a conference center that will support local and regional events and training. So those are some of the things that we're working on with the Better City Grant, and certainly those become the beginning phases for those projects. And there's some other agricultural-type initiatives that were recommended from that study also.
So we've been talking a lot about maintaining a diverse economy in Delta County. Why is that important? Why is it important to diversify an economy?
Well, I think that makes it more resilient. And what I often talk about is how do we create opportunities for everybody so that for folks living here and folks who want to come here, and so that you're not relying solely on one industry, whether that's for employment, whether that's for property taxes. And so we really want to find ways that you diversify that. And really what we're seeing, I think rural communities are seeing, is that those small businesses, whether there's 5, 10, 15, 20 employees, are really the backbone of our economy. And that creates a more stable economy. And then if we can also, more and more looking at the entrepreneurial startup expansion technology, and as we bring broadband into our communities, we have more opportunities to leverage those and diversify the economy.
Do you think there's resistance to bringing in, new young entrepreneurs from some of the people who have been living here for generations?
Well, I think that I don't think it's a resistance to that, but I think that what people talk about is retaining our quality of life. And so how do we retain the things that we all love about living here and not turn into something that we're not? And I think that's some of the bigger concerns. When I'm out talking about these concepts and ideas, I'm actually finding people are really excited about them and see the opportunity in them. You know, I think in any community you have some folks that, may be more resistant to change. And I think that's no matter where you are, that is part of, change is hard, whether that's individually or as a community.
What changes have you seen since you've been working at Delta County Economic Development?
I've been in my job for 2 years, and I've been in Delta for 2 years. I think the things that I've been seeing over the past couple of years is people recognizing, though the coal mines are a part of our economy and continue to be a part of our economy, and it's something that we support and want to see our last remaining coal mine remain as strong as they can, there's definitely a recognition that we need to look at other industries and look at the way that we think about that. And again, I think people are much more aware about diversification, and I think people are aware of the different potentials within our agricultural community, within other ways to produce energy, and having a diversified energy economy and a diversified ag economy.
And that was Trish Thibodeau from Delta County Economic Development. I'm Allie Lightfoot, and you've been tuned into Local Motion on KVNF. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for As the Worm Turns coming up next.